Praise God. I heard the message this morning at 11. It was so good. I loved it from Pastor Roger on Ezekiel 16 and Pastor Gary on Matthew 10. It was so really edifying, and I just love our church so much. I was at Federal Hill Service at 11, and so thankful for what God has done down there at that area, and how God has used Justin and Margaret and Tommy and the team, Charles and others that were there, Marty, and Pastor Butch was there too, and just the gang. It was so good, and to see the work of God, it's beautiful. So I'm so thankful for that. And tonight I had one thought in my mind I wanted to share with you. Maybe we will rehearse it, repeat it a few times. And so it relates to Matthew 17 and verse 2. And it has to do with the meaning of this word, transfigure, and the Greek word, and the meaning of it in this amazing, amazing story. Christ is up on the, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and brings them up into a high mountain apart. So, Father, we thank you for this assembly. We've come in your name. We want to see Jesus tonight. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me for a minute and just bear with me? I know you do this a lot, but just stand up with me and just say to your neighbor, I want to see Jesus. Could you get your act together? I want to see Jesus. Could you get it going? I want to see Jesus. Katarina, we got to see the Lord. Oh, there's that's wow, good song, Seth. Amazing. Mark, Marie, yes, Mr. Wilczek, Dana, beautiful, great. I want to see Jesus. Okay. Yeah, yes, we do. Let's continue praying. Lord, we found the right way. We feel it in our spirit, in our life, in the fruit of it, in our joy, in our peace. We are on the right track. It's you, the new and living way. Bless our thoughts tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Be not conformed to the world. That's what we want to say tonight. When you leave here and you go across the parking lot to your car, you're going to say in your heart, be not conformed to this world. Would you say that with me now? Be not conformed to the world. We're going to take our time on that. Be not conformed to the world. All right, so this word in verse 2, he was transfigured before them. How was he changed? What is that word, transfigured? His face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. Was this a cosmetic change? Or was it deeper? There's a word for it, and it is metamorpho, and this is to change into another form. And we have this used in 2 Corinthians 3:18 for us. We are changed from glory to glory. And also regarding our mind in Romans 12 and verse 2, has your mind been changed? have we received from God the new nature? Do we have a love and a desire for God in our hearts deep inside? Yes, there are times when that is very, very strong or very real to us. We are drawn to God. When you are drawn to God, then follow that desire for God and His holiness and His plan and faith. Remember that little diagram? Maybe we could get the iPad here. That little diagram about reason and then faith. And without contradiction, great is the mystery of godliness. Thank you. We drew it this way. Here's reason, like a box. And we have faith. And we live in faith. It kind of transcends. We have faith. And this is now we live in the mystery of godliness. And it goes, we live in it. We walk in faith. We find God. It's beyond reason. You might walk on water as you follow God. You might see food multiplied as you follow God. You might see God while you are on the cross. You may lead somebody to Christ as you live by faith. This is a way, and it's God that holds our life together. We said this morning that many people have their life held together by their environment. Their job holds their life together. Their family holds their life together. Their education holds their money. Their house holds their house. Their life is held together by their house. You take the house away, their life falls apart. Life is held together by something small, by a dog. A dog. I lose the dog and my life crumbles. I mean, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying that this is the way we are as people, all of us. But Jesus came. Wow. Read the Gospel of John this week, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you and draw you to faith, and you will worship God as you read the Gospel of John. And you'll see Jesus going beyond. He is the I Am. He's in heaven. He is there while He is on the earth. In John 3:13. He's the bread that we have to eat, or we have no life. The water we have to drink. Out of our belly will come water. This He spoke of the Holy Spirit. That's exciting. The believer has this. Now, the unbeliever has reason, but he also has another mystery at work. The unbeliever has the mystery of iniquity. This is the mystery of iniquity. The one on top is the mystery of godliness. Okay? That's 1 Timothy 3:15, 3:16. The bottom one goes down. It goes down to, I like to say it this way, a crack in the pavement. You slip down into iniquity, and iniquity ends up being, it perishes. We read that in Psalm 112. Meaningless, disappear. Mystery of iniquity. It may have its hour, but it's over. It's gone. It disappears. It's a crack in the pavement. It goes down to hell. It's over. It's done. It's gone. And the kingdom of Christ goes on and on forever and ever. All right, so that's not the message, but Romans 12 is. So turn there with me. And I think because... We know it a little. We know the text, but I want you to listen to it tonight this way. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you. I plead with you. It's like I draw you. I beseech you. I ask you. I like that feeling. You know, somebody lead me. Please lead me. Plead with me. Beseech me. You know, somebody persuade me. I need the preacher to speak to me. I need him to convince me. I want him to persuade me. I want him to push me. Like in Japan at the subways, packing the people into the trains. I need somebody to get me moving. Get off the boat. Get off the boat. Get out of the house. It's on fire. Get out of the house. It's on fire. Do something with your money. It's going away. It's perishing. Do something with your money. I plead. I beseech. I ask you. This is beautiful. And the Apostle Paul was the man that we model our life after, that he has some teeth in his words, in his heart. He has some fire in his belly. He has the Holy Spirit. We have a duty, I was thinking today, to lead people to Christ. And as a pastor in our church, I cannot be satisfied unless people are getting saved in our church. They have to get saved. They must be born again in our church. Amen? They've got to. Our neighbors have to. Our people that we know have to get saved and born again. And we are interested and persuaded. So this is the idea of the word, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because there's something big. There's something big going on. I like it when you get heightened. I read one time in a poker game, and I know none of you know anything about poker, okay, but in a poker game, they put money in the table and they bet, and as the stakes get higher, there's more to win. And if you're playing, you also have a lot to lose. I like that picture. I want that in my life. I want a lot to win. I want to win. I like the idea. It stirs your heart. There's a lot to lose. And there's nothing more important in our life than to realize this game called life is a big win or it's a big loss. Yeah. This thing is huge. You think it's an accident you're alive? You think it's a light thing that you're alive, that your mouth works, your feet work, your ears work, your mind works? You think it's a light thing? Are you gifted? Are you in life? This is the idea here. You and I, wow, it's big. What is it? We are here to glorify God. We are here to help people find God. We are here to see people saved from hell. What? To save from hell? Whoa. That's huge. Yes, my life has something to do with that. That people can be saved from hell. Christ saves them. That's huge. My life has some meaning. This is where he's saying, let's go to verse 1. He says, "Be by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, bodies means our body. Well, let's go through some parts. Ears, eyes, mouth, feet, and hands. My body's, I was thinking of bringing a Halloween mask and cutting it into pieces and putting the pieces of the mask, you know. God, I present my ears, but I never did it. But, and it wouldn't matter anyway. I put my hands, they're hanging from some tree. These body parts that are hanging from trees in the cemeteries and people's front yards. I have no idea what they're trying to communicate, but it's like, wow. Like, well, isn't it funny? We bring the eyes and the ears, and I have a temptation of what I listen to, and you got to get away from bad habits by just stop doing them. I have a bad habit of gossip and listening to gossip. I got to get away from it by putting my ears and my tongue on the sacrificial altar, the living sacrifice of my eyes and my ears on the altar. That's for God. To burn them up in a sacrifice, or to take them and to honor God by a living sacrifice. He doesn't care about chickens and goats and oxen. He cares about your body and my body when we make a decision to bring it to Him and put it on the altar. It's amazing to me when Christians watch horror movies, and now we're in that season. I mean, I've seen them advertised on the TV. That's strange to me, because it doesn't seem that ugly horror and all the wickedness that goes with the world of murder and grotesque and vulgar images are good for me. It seems they titillate or stimulate my lower nature. We can bring the TV on the altar. But I think the TV is a great tool. But you have to use a tool in a good way. A chainsaw is a great tool, but it's definitely not a good one when it's used the wrong way. Or a match. Or gasoline. We are people that have found the Holy Spirit leading us. And so we must learn if something about denial. I am not swearing anymore. I'm not cursing, it's swearing. When I do, and I start doing that in my heart, it hardly gets out of my mouth, but I realize there's something that I need spiritually in my heart to fill me and teach me and transform, same word, my mind. Okay, so go to the next portion. It says here, verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Imagine your hands are holy hands. That's why we raise them sometimes, because we're in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And we are holy people. And when you find the holiness of God and you get that line that you go, your life comes together. You become wise. And I know that the body parts are kind of like about these bodily temptations or bodily tendencies, but there's also like an intellectual lust or a desire or a reading information or gathering compromising doctrines or false teaching or intellectual inquiry that does not bring me to a good place. On the other hand, contrarily, when my mind is renewed, you become wise. You can glean from the scripture and understand it. And it's kind of it's food. It gets lodged in your spirit. And you become a person that can talk to anybody and listen to them, understand them, and you can ask questions and make them think, provoke them, like Daniel and David and Joseph. So it goes this way in verse 2. And be, and we have the word there, reasonable service, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that if Christ died for me and I am sanctified now by him, that I would bring my ungodly desires to God. I would have an altar in my life. It's only reasonable that I would have this kind of worship. The word service there, reasonable worship, that's the word for worship. Now we come to the part that I really like to think about. I think it's very simple, but I want to encourage you in it. Be not conformed. This is a different word from transform or transfigure. It is metaschematizo. Many of you know this. We have, it implies a fashion. It means it's a fashion that is on the outside or the appearance. It's used for Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. He's not actually a real angel of light because the light isn't in him. But he can make light or appear as light because he is able to change himself on the outside. But he isn't that on the inside. This is how the world operates. They change on the outside. They follow or conform. Or as Philip says in his translation, we are squeezed into their mold, into the world, what the world is saying. We're squeezed into what the world is doing. What is the fashion or the thought of the day? We are squeezed into it. We are conformed. Schematizo means, the schema is that word for blueprints or a plan, like electrical plan for your car, electrical plan for a house, blueprints for a building, and all of the planning. And this is like the world. There is a plan, but I don't conform to it. I'm not conforming because I've been changed, and I enjoy the spiritual change in my heart and mind that is for God, godliness, truth. And here we are on a Sunday night, like we have 1 hour together or so, and on a Wednesday night, a little more than an hour together, and then I go out in the world, and I am inundated with information and a schema, a plan that they want to squeeze me into. But I don't, this is the attitude that I want you to have, and I beseech you to take your body as a living sacrifice, give it to God, and the spiritual effect, you'll actually be changed in your mind. Your mind. So you have body, and now your mind is transfigured, or it is changed. Metamorpho. You are changed. Hallelujah. I am changed. I've been changed for many years, and so have you. We have been changed. They might say, you know, what do you think of this or that? Oh, I am not so interested in that. I know about it. I have thought about it. I realize what it is. But I think if you think God has given me understanding about that, that I understand what that is. What do you think about it? Tell me, why do you think that? And they don't know, because they have followed a scheme of, like, what we're supposed to say in our society. Like, you're supposed to say that. You can't say that. You're supposed to have this vocabulary, and you're not supposed to say that. That's not correct. You shouldn't say that. It's like, wait, I'd like to explore that with you. I've been thinking about this. I feel that we should be able to speak very directly and truthfully about things and put things on the table, understand them, and think about them, and understand where I am coming from, because what we need in our society is a lot of communication. We need a lot of love and a lot of people who are able to stand up and say, I have something to say. And then you're able to, in love and clarity, you have a word in season. You have a message. You are not conformed to the world. You are transformed. And that makes us different. Isn't it good? Where'd you get it? It's from the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. Well, you're hyper-spiritual. No. It works. It's in life. It's in the house, in the barn. It's on the playing field. It's in the dugout. It's in public. It's in private. No. It's the filling of the Spirit and the renewal of my mind. It helps me with people. It helps me in my vision and in my direction. Oh, no, it's not anti. It's a mystery of godliness that Jesus came into a world that was against him, and he reached it, and he spoke to it, and he spoke again, and then he spoke again, and they had questions, and he spoke again, and he explained the parable, and he was able to be a teacher. He was able to manifest the nature of God in a world that was conformed to the world and the mind that is the mystery of iniquity, the mind that is anti-God. He was able to live in the presence of his enemies, and God prepared a table in the presence of those that disagreed with him. But he was able to reach them. And he never stopped, by the way. When he was hanging on the cross, he still is dying, right? And he doesn't stop. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, a renewed mind is a very good thing. The world doesn't have it. So they go like with the herd. They go with the group. They all say the same thing. They all march the same way. They act the same way. They behave the way. And they're very fearful and very afraid of falling outside of the group. But not you and I. We're in another group by God's grace. And he wants you in that fellowship, which is the mystery of godliness. So, I guess, are you going to follow the group? Or are you going to, I beseech you, give your bodies to God. It starts there. Give your bodies to God. And because of that faith, the Holy Spirit will renew your mind. And you will not be conformed to the world. But you'll be drawn to God, and he will lead you and fill you with the Spirit. And you say, I don't need the world. I am in it, but I don't need it. It doesn't have much for me, except the opportunity to minister to people and love them. Okay, is that good? Is it a good message? Okay, so I think it is. Nothing new comes to me about it, except I think, Yeah, maybe I could say one last thing. We were taught in our ministry years ago, we had rap sessions and talking, and we kept on. We kind of were trained to kind of follow the Spirit in our conversation, and I think we do very well at that with the fellowship that I have and as a in general, and I think we have, like, learn to have your fellowship in Christ and be very kind and loving and joyful and free and ministering to God and each other. And then the doctrine, the habit of understanding and growing, I think some believers amongst us, they have a great need for constant doctrine. Constant high dosages of doctrine will deliver me from many temptations. Yeah, I'll keep my mind. My mind will be helped. I will not be wandering as much. It'll help my focus, my concentration. 1 hour of doctrine a day, like expose yourself. Have your meditation time. Have a prayer life where you wait on God and take time. Take time in your prayer. Don't just run through it, but take time and say, even preparation for prayer. Before I pray, I might be walking around thinking, I want to pray. I want to come to God. God, I'm serious about it. I need you. I need a visitation. I need fresh oil. I need your visitation. I ask you to anoint. I ask you to bless me in my prayer. I need that. I'm tired of anything less than that. Oh, Jesus, come on. Give it to me. And you go into the prayer, and you're serious about it, and you receive. So there's a little message on having a changed mind that God gives you so you don't conform to the world, but you are free and you're able to minister. Lastly, I want to say, I think the devil in our country wants to break us down so that we retreat, we're afraid, we withdraw, and like things fall apart. And say, back in your corner. Don't talk to anybody. Stay away from people. And this is it. He wants us to separate and stop talking. But this is the good news. You don't do that. It's amazing. You don't do that. You are free. You are spirit-filled. You have a mind. You're able to talk to unbelievers. You're able to engage with them. You're able to love them. You're able to preach. You're able to be out. You're able to care. You're able to look for needs and meet needs. You're able to give money away. You're able to bring food to people. You're able to bring the gospel. You're able to hand out tracts. You're able to say, God loves you. God loves you. Jesus is for you, not against you. That is where we must go in our country. Now listen, will it happen? I don't know. Is the church ever going to turn back to orthodoxy and be right on with God? No. That's not my goal. My goal is not to change the country in one way. My goal is not to change the church in another way, even though both are needed. But our goal is for me and my house and my little plot of ground, where I've got 2 blades of grass growing, I want to have 4 blades of grass. You get it? I got 1 half of a pumpkin. I want to have 2 pumpkins. I got my little patch. And that's how I want you to think. Your mind is renewed and you're able to say, I'm in the game. I'm on it. I'm in it, God. Right, give me a soul. I'm in the game. I want to have a ministry with Jesus Christ in these last days. Wow, what a privilege. Last days when we see the world falling apart. I'm not falling apart. How about you? You're not falling apart. The world is falling apart, but I'm not falling apart. I got my little patch of ground, and I got something to do here. And boy, sisters and brothers, there's a lot of stuff on the table to win or to lose. I'm not going to lose. I want to win. God's renewed mind says, you're in the game. You got it. Jesus is with you. Let's go. Let's go. I believe God. Let's preach the gospel. Let's love people. And let's meet needs. Amen. Okay, so let's pray for... I know you guys would clap easily, but don't do it. I know you would, but you don't need... No, it's good. We're good. Let's pray right now. Oh, yes. Lord, we have heard something. I don't want to be conformed to an empty, hollow blueprint to the devil. That is wicked and evil. I want to be alive to you. When something's a lie, I want to say it's a lie. Jesus is an expert, the perfect example of encountering an evil world in the Gospels. He would tell stories. He would challenge the adversary. He would love people. That's like us. Come to Jesus tonight in Jesus' name. Put your trust in him. He will answer you. Please come to him and keep coming in your heart. Come to God as a way of life. Walk with God every day. Trust in him, and he will show you. Yes, he will. Amen.